of diligence and what the scriptures have to say about that. Now, you may wonder, what is diligence? Well, when I'm talking about diligence, we're talking about working hard, working carefully, working steadily. If I'm diligent, that means I'm working with energy and working with thoroughness. The opposite of that, the other side of the coin, is if I'm not diligent, then I'm lazy or careless or sloppiness. So those are some descriptions there. I give you an idea of what we're going to talk about this evening for just a few minutes. Now, the Bible has a lot to say on the topic of diligence, and we're not going to look at everything, but I wanted to point out a few passages for us to think about here this evening. I think through instruction and by example, the Bible teaches us that we need to be doing our best. So first, let's look at some passages in the Old Testament. First, in the Old Testament, the book of Proverbs talks a lot about diligence, and I picked out three verses here for us to consider. Proverbs 12:24, "The hand of the diligent will rule, but the lazy man will be put to forced labor." Proverbs 12:27, "The lazy man does not roast what he took in hunting, but diligence is a man's precious possession." Proverbs chapter 13, verse 4, "The soul of a lazy man desires and has nothing, but the soul of the diligent shall be made rich." And so we see here the concept of diligence painted in a positive light here in the Old Testament. Not only is there instruction in the Old Testament about diligence, but also we see examples of diligence in people's lives. The first one that came to mind for me was the life of Daniel. And we read in Daniel chapter 6, beginning at verse 1, "It pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 satraps to be over the whole kingdom, and over these three governors, of whom Daniel was one, that the satraps might give account to them, and so the king would suffer no loss. And then this Daniel distinguished himself above the governors and satraps, because an excellent spirit was in him. And the king gave thought to setting him over the whole realm. So the governors and satraps sought to find some charge against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find no charge or fault, because he was faithful, nor was there any error or fault found in him. Then these men said, 'We shall not find any charge against this Daniel unless we find it against him concerning the law of his God.'" And so we see a description of diligence here by Daniel in his service to the king. And we know that by this description that he did his duties thoroughly and carefully. The second example that comes to mind in the Old Testament is the life of Joseph. And in Genesis chapter 39, beginning at verse 1, it says, "Now Joseph had been taken down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him from the Ishmaelites who had taken him down there. The Lord was with Joseph, and he was a successful man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all he did to prosper in his hand. So Joseph found favor in his sight and served him, and then he made him overseer of his house, and all that he had he put under his authority. So it was from the time that he had made him overseer of his house and all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake, and the blessing of the Lord was on all that he had in the house and in the field. Thus he left all that he had in Joseph's hand, and he did not know what he had except for the bread which he ate." So we see a description of diligence here in the life of Joseph. He was faithful to his service. He was careful in his duties here in Potiphar's house. The idea of diligence is carried forward in the New Testament as well. And I'd like to look at a few passages here. And as we look at these passages in the New Testament, we see that diligence should be a part of our everyday lives as well. Ephesians chapter 6, verse number 5, Paul says, "Bondservants, be obedient to those who are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in sincerity of heart as to Christ, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as bondservants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will doing service as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that whatever good anyone does, he will receive the same from the Lord, whether he is a slave or free. Now, we don't really have the bondservant relationship here in the 21st century, but still this idea of diligence is carried in this passage. We're to do the will of God from the heart at verse number 6. And verse number 7 tells us the things that we do here, if we're doing our best, we're really doing it for the Lord. And we see in verse number 8 that for those people that are diligent, they will be rewarded for their efforts. A parallel passage is found, I think, in Colossians chapter 3, where Paul says in verse 23, "Whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of your inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ." And so there you see diligence explained as something that we do heartily. And again, as we're doing it for the Lord. Now, an example of someone in the New Testament that was diligent, I think, is the Apostle Paul. And he says the following in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. He says, We command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you withdraw from every brother who walks disorderly and not according to the tradition which he received from us. For you yourselves know how you ought to follow us, for we were not disorderly among you, nor did we eat anyone's bread free of charge, but work with labor and toil night and day, that we might not be a burden to any of you, not because we do not have authority, but to make ourselves an example of how you should follow us. For even when we were with you, we commanded you this: if anyone will not work, neither shall he eat. For we hear that there are some who walk among you in a disorderly manner, not working at all, but are busybodies. Now those who are such, we command and exhort through our Lord Jesus Christ, that they work in quietness and eat their own bread. But as for you, brethren, do not grow weary in doing good. And if anyone does not obey our word in this epistle, note that person, and do not keep company with him, that he may be ashamed. Yet do not count him as an enemy, but admonish him as a brother. And notice there's several things in this passage talk about diligence. First of all, he says that some in the Thessalonian church were acting disorderly. And what he goes on to explain here, what they were doing was they weren't working and being diligent as they should. Paul even says here that he is an example to them in verse number 9, in that he was working day and night to support himself as he labored there with the church. We also see Jesus talking about diligence in the parables. Matthew chapter 25, he says, "The kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country, who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. And to one he gave 5 talents, and to another 2, and to another 1, and to each according to his own ability. And immediately he went on a journey. Then he who had received the 5 talents went and traded with them and made another 5. And likewise he who had received 2 gained 2 more also. But he who had received 1 went and dug it in the ground and hid his Lord's money. After a long time the Lord of those servants came and settled accounts with them. And so he who had received 5 talents came and brought 5 other talents, saying, 'Lord, you delivered to me 5 talents, and look, I have gained 5 more talents besides them.' His Lord said, 'Well done, good and faithful servant. You are faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many. Enter into the joy of your Lord.' He also who had received 2 talents came and said, 'Lord, you delivered to me 2 talents. Look, I have gained 2 more talents besides them.' His Lord said to him, 'Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things, and I'll make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord.' Then he who had received 1 talent came and said, 'Lord, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you had not sown and gathering where you had not scattered. And I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Look, there you have what is yours.' But his Lord answered and said to him, 'You wicked and lazy servant, You knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. So you ought to have deposited my money with the bankers, and at my coming I would have received back my own with interest. So take this talent from him and give it to him who has 10 talents. For to everyone who has, more will be given, and he will have abundance. But from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the unprofitable servant into the outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. In this parable about the different talents, Jesus is reminding us to be diligent and to do our best. The master expected his servants to do their best here. And it's interesting to note that the different servants had different talents. That is, they didn't all have the same amount to start with. And that reminds me of the body of Christ. And Paul talks about in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, where we all have different talents and abilities. Your talents are not the same as mine, and my talents are not the same as another person. But we all have abilities that we can work for Christ and to do our best. He goes on to say in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, the ear doesn't say to the eye, because, you know, because I'm not the eye, I'm not important, and so I'm not going to do anything, I'm not going to be a part of the body. That's not how it works. Each member of the body has their own talents and does their own thing, and each member is important in the body of Christ. We notice here in the parable of Matthew 25 that those servants are rewarded for their diligence. While we're here on the topic, we see that in general, the life of Jesus, if you read through the Gospels, the life of Jesus was one of diligence. He talked about on many occasions how he was there to do the Father's will. In John chapter 5, verse 30, these are just a few examples. I do not seek my own will, but the will of the Father who sent me. John chapter 6, verse 38, for I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. And then Hebrews chapter 10, referring to the Messiah, said, behold, I have come to do your will, O God. That's a quote from the Psalms. Now, when you think of the life of Christ, do you think Jesus did the will of the Father sloppily or carelessly? Certainly not. We know that he was diligent. He did the will of the Father completely, lovingly, and carefully. And so we can follow that great example even today. The last point I wanted to make this evening is that the Lord expects us to be diligent when it comes to our salvation. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, it says, be diligent to present yourselves approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Some of the versions would translate that word diligent as study to show yourself approved. It takes effort on our part to find out the will of God. We could wonder why God didn't pre-program us to be already knowing what the will of the Father is without having to put forth effort. But this is the method God has used. We know in Romans chapter 1, verse 16, he says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation. And we know in Romans chapter 10, verse 17, the faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And so effort must be put forth in our quest for finding out the will of the Father. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, I think this is the key, the verse of the day for us today. Chapter 11, verse 6, he says, but without faith it is impossible to please him, for he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. And so we see here that we must put forth effort in our relationship with God. If we're going to be a New Testament church, if we're going to be like the church that we read about in the Bible, we're going to have to put forth effort to do that. As we keep these things in mind, it's important to remember that this is not earning our salvation. We know that Romans chapter 3, verse 23 teaches us that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Romans chapter 6, verse 1 tells us, What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. And so there's a balance between what we do faithfully serving the Lord and what he has done for us. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, it says, "For grace you have been saved through faith." And so you see grace and faith working together in our salvation. For those that say there's nothing we can do to have salvation, the Bible clearly does not teach that, is because there is effort necessary in faithfully seeking the Lord and his will. In conclusion this evening, the Bible teaches us that we should do our best and that we will be rewarded for it. To begin your life as a Christian, you need to follow that New Testament example by being baptized into Christ. Acts chapter 22, verse 16 tells us, "Why are you waiting? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord." And we invite you to make that decision tonight. If you're here tonight also and would like the prayers of the church, we invite you to come as well as we together stand and sing.
Someday you'll stand at the bar on high. Someday your record you'll see. Someday you'll answer the question of life. What will your answer be? What will it be? What will it be? Where will you spend your eternity? What will it be? Oh, what will it be? What will your answer be? Now is the time to prepare, my friend. Make your soul spotless and free. Washed in the blood of the crucified one, he will your answer be. What will it be? What will it be? Where will you spend your eternity? What will it be? Oh, what will it be? What will your